It goes like this. One day a chicken and a pig were walking down the side of the road. And as they were walking down the street, they were having a conversation with each other. The chicken was talking to the pig about how weird it was that the pig didn't have any fur or hair or feathers, and it was just kind of weird. And the pig was saying, yeah, but those feathers of yours, they fall out everywhere we go, and it's just kind of weird. I mean, like, you're losing part of yourself everywhere you go. And they were talking and having a great time. And as they were walking, they saw a sign on the side of the road just ahead. And at first they couldn't read the sign. At first they couldn't tell what the sign said until as they got closer, they kept looking and they realized this was a pretty big sign. And the words became more and more in focus the closer they got to this sign until they read what it said. It said, "Community breakfast free, all are invited." And they thought, wow, this is great. I mean, like, this is amazing. People are helping people in need. And so they thought, this is a great thing. And they started talking about how there's a lot of people who have a lot of needs in the world. And there's a lot of people who need help in the world they live in. And the chicken and the pig started talking about how they wished they could help. And the chicken's eyes lit up as if a light bulb turned on top of its head. And he said, wait a minute, we're a chicken and a pig. We were like made to help with breakfast, right? I mean, like, this is it. How perfect is this? So the chicken suggests, he says, you know what? How about we do this? How about we help with breakfast? We can help take care of breakfast. And the chicken was really excited. But the pig got real quiet, and he stopped. And the pig sunk his head down and sighed, and he said, for you it's a donation. For me it's a life. For you it's a donation, but for me it's complete commitment. It's not just a contribution, but if I'm gonna help, it's everything I have. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about stewardship. And we've talked the past couple of weeks about a couple of different principles of stewardship. And we've talked about what it is. It's the principle of being faithful users and managers of the resources that God has given us. A recognition that all good and perfect gifts come down from God. And I imagine something kind of like the chicken and the pig happening at some point along the way between the Father and the Son. I imagine somewhere in heaven there was a conversation between the Father and the Son, and they were walking in heaven together, and the Father looks at the Son and says, it's time. With tears in his eyes, he looks at the world and how the world had gone astray and how the world had fallen apart, and he looks at his Son and he says, Now's the time. And the Son looks at his Father and he says, I know. If there's any way other than this, I know you'll think of it. But if this is the way, I'm committed. I'm committed to this thing. And so we know the story. We know the story. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know the story. Jesus was born as a little baby. God put skin on and became a human being and lived in the world. Lived a perfect life. I mean, it wasn't just a contribution. It was a lifetime thing, right? Because he finds himself on the cross paying for us. I mean, like, he paid your debts and mine. He paid for us. He bought us. The Bible says we're not our own. We were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. God bought us with his Son. He bought us. So Jesus is on the cross. And as he's hanging on the cross, he could have made a contribution and walked away. He could have just contributed to the cause. In that moment, he could have said, you know, Father, I was all in until I realized really what this thing was all about, and this kind of hurts, and I don't think I like it too much. And he could have called the angels, and he could have stepped off the cross, and he could have walked away, and he could have, but he didn't. He was committed. You see, God didn't want to give us the rest of him. He wanted to give us the best of him. You see, God didn't want to hold anything back. If you read the story of the scriptures, you can see how all throughout history, it was about giving the rest. Ever since the fall, ever since that moment when Adam and Eve ate that fruit they weren't supposed to eat in the garden, all they wanted to do was give the rest. Don't believe me? Okay. How many times, and I'll just use a common one that I hear today, how many times in our day today when we talk about stewardship, we talk about offerings and tithing and giving and this, that, and the other thing, how many times do we ask the question, so pastor, is it out of my gross or my net? We want to give God the rest, not the best. Or we look at our schedules and we say, okay, God, well, after I'm done at work, and after I'm done taking care of the kids, and after I'm done cleaning up after dinner, and after I'm done with this, that, then I've got some time left over for you. God doesn't want just the rest of us. He wants the best of us, too. And so I look at the stories in the scriptures. I look at the story of God's love as it's woven through the entire Bible, Old Testament and New, and I see how there was this law of the tithe, and it wasn't because people were giving so much of themselves that God said, whoa, keep it for yourself. I mean, like, no, 10%, that's good, man. Don't go above that. I mean, that's crazy. No, it was like, that was the goal to which they had to attain. It was a law. It was a mandate. But we were created for stewardship. We were created to live in this relationship of caring for everything that God gave us. And yet we try to find excuses and ways out of it. We try to find ways to give the least we can. And I'm not talking just about money, okay? Don't misunderstand me. This is about a life thing. And so we try to find ways to give the least portion of our life, the least harmful, as we think, the least obstructive portion of our life back to God. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if you don't go to church every Sunday, you're not giving your best. I want to ask you a question. In your daily reading of the Bible, in your time in God's Word, do you give God the time when you're most engaged, you're most with it, you're most connected? Or do you fall into that stipulation that it has to be early in the morning in a quiet, dark room when you're about ready still to fall asleep? You see, some people aren't morning people. And so if you're not a morning person and you give God your morning, you're not giving God your best time. God doesn't want the rest of you, but he wants the best of you. God didn't give us the rest of him. It's not like he said, well, let's see here, I really love my son, so I'll keep him. And well, there's that angel over there. He never really did do much for me. I'll just give them him. No, he gave us his best. He gave us his son. He gave us his all. He didn't hold anything back. He emptied himself for us. He held nothing back. When we come to the realization that we're the object of God's undying love, that he held nothing back for us, when we come to that realization that if we look at the life of Jesus from the perspective of being a faithful user manager of all of what God has, Jesus held nothing back. Jesus poured all of it out. He gave us his best and his rest. He gave us everything he had. I believe in my heart of hearts that God doesn't want just the rest of us. He wants the best of us. And we have a chance every time we get together. And a lot of times we miss it. And I want to take a couple of seconds and I want to talk to you about God's best that we have right here. Every Sunday when we get together, there's two things that are here every single week. Every single week we walk in and we take for granted, most likely, the fact that up here, against the wall, almost behind the altar, off to the side, yet strategically placed beneath the eternity candle, is the baptismal font. You see, we in Lutheran circles, we believe that this is what's called a sacrament. It's a thing in which God imparts His fullness into us. It's mysterious, material, real, excellent, true, right, and perfect. Can I explain it to you in any way that really makes sense? Nope, because He's God, and I'm not. I just realized that this week, by the way. We're all good now. Baptism? Many of us carry it around with us. It's somewhere in our past. It's somewhere filed in a file cabinet at mom and dad's drawer, somewhere back in the corner, and we probably don't even know when it was. I don't remember my baptism date. Don't, not at all. I was a youngin'. I was born in April, and I was baptized in June. But it doesn't mean it's less powerful. Because, you see, baptism is not about me. Baptism is not about what I bring to it. It's not about how good of a person I am, because if so, that my baptism just was completely stinky. Because baptism is about what Jesus does. Baptism is about Jesus, okay? And we've kind of got away from that word Jesus. I don't know why. We've gotten into the word church and Christian, but it's Jesus. I mean, Jesus didn't even teach Christianity. Didn't know if you knew that or not. He said, follow me as I follow my Father, right? So I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Every Sunday we walk in here and we have a perfect display of the stewardship of God's grace right in front of us. Every single time we walk in here. We walk in and we see the font, and we see it's a symbol, it's a reminder. The font is a reminder of something mysterious and yet oh so real that happened to us. It's a time in which God imparted Himself into us. The real presence of the real God has been put into you and into me, and there's no denying that fact, whether it was as an infant or as an adult. I don't care. It's about God, not you. Jesus put Himself in you at the time of your baptism. And I'm going to do something that's just going to shake the waters greatly. I'm going to uncover these things before communion. Forgive me. Every time we come together on Sunday mornings, every time we gather together, every single time we have worship here on a Sunday morning, and on many occasions outside of Sunday, we have this thing called communion. And a lot of us, we go, yeah, we kind of expect it. He does it every Sunday. It's just kind of part of what we do. I mean, like, and if I didn't do it on a Sunday, if we kind of withheld it one Sunday, some of you would go, that was kind of weird. Oh, well, must have been a reason. Right in front of us, every Sunday, is this mysterious and yet oh so real presence of Jesus right here. Because let me tell you what we believe about communion. Let me tell you what it is right here, right now, in plain language. We believe that in this bread, because of God's promise, because of all that He promises to us in Scripture, because of what He did on the cross, and because of what He did in the grave, and because of His promises thereafter, and everything else in Scripture, because of that, we believe that right here, it's bread. But by some mysterious and miraculous way, the presence of Jesus is there. It's the body of Christ in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine. So there's the body, and then here's the blood, right here. Somehow or another, we're united with Christ in his death and in His resurrection through the bread and through the wine, through the body and blood of Christ, and it's the real presence of Jesus. He's really here. He didn't go anywhere. He's right there in front of us. You want to talk about the best? Every time we come into this place to worship God, we receive the best God has to offer. Every time. And I get teared up just thinking about how amazing this grace is, how beautiful our God is, that we get to see the promise of baptism every time we walk in, and we get to walk through those waters every time we come here, and we hear about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every time we get to confess our sins and we get to receive forgiveness, we get to feel the grace of God wash over us and cleanse us. Every single time it happens over and over, and we gather at the table and we just kind of go through the motions and it's, yeah, that's awesome. I don't really care for the wine or whatever. But we get to partake, we get to ingest in us. Again, I can't explain it. God tells it. I can't give you a good explanation other than what Jesus gave. So if you don't understand him, you're not going to understand me. Jesus attaches himself to the bread and the wine in such a way that we cannot separate it. And so we have the body and the blood of Christ and the bread and the wine, and Jesus is present here. God didn't give us the rest of him. He gave us the best of him. And he says, I don't want just the rest of you, my friends, my children. I want the best of you. I want everything you are. And one of the things I can tell you, one of the things I know about some of you, is the best of you is the part you want to hide. For a lot of you, the best of you, other people have said, isn't good enough. You've given your best and people haven't said good things. You've done your best, what you know to be your best, and people in the world look at you as if you're a failure, and you say, I'm not giving my best, because if it's not the best for him, it's definitely not the best for God. But let me tell you something right now. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the waters of baptism, because of his presence in communion, your best is exactly what God wants. Your best is exactly what God desires for you. May you rest in Jesus, and may you give him your best, because he gave you his best and the rest. Amen.